welcome to Reclaiming the Republic. This show is sponsored by ReclaimingTheRepublic.org. I am G.R. Mobley. This is an educational grassroots program focused on uniting and leading in restoring the Republic and placing the federal government back into the scope and framework of the Constitution once again. Well, folks, it's now or never. And I appreciate the feedback from yesterday's comments. I don't want anybody to think that Russia is a good player. They're not good players. They're evil people. But you have to understand that there is a reason why, because we had the time to get out of Afghanistan, if that was the goal, to safely get out so that we didn't make a debacle of our departure. And if you look at something as simple as extracting our equipment and people out of Afghanistan and how badly that failed, the same blunderhead is now saying he's getting ready to fight a war against an army and a very competent commander-in-chief of Russia. Very competent. This guy knows what he's doing, where Biden is an idiot. And so are we really? We have so much to lose. What we cannot allow is a president to actually throw us into these types of situations, especially when we know that the president lacks the basic competence. It's not about whether I love Russia, whether Russia's doing something good. I think we're all being played. I think we're being played so that we can, so America can take a slap down in such a way that it just causes everybody to pause. I just realized that I've got my phone in the studio right now. So if this thing goes off, forgive me, I'm going to put it close enough to my hand and behind the microphone so that you'll probably hear it if it goes off. This is the main office phone. But anywho, what I want to express to you is not that Russia is a good player. China, all of these conquest nations in trying to take and seize control of all the assets of their neighbor. This is the same thing Hitler did. It's the same thing that evil players have done for years, from Napoleon Bonaparte and on. Now, there's no evidence that America has there is evidence that America has set up shadow governments or manipulated and so forth. And most people would think that most of that manipulation would have benefited America directly. But it hasn't. The American manipulation has benefited the global agenda. That is because the deep state has been entrenched for years and years. I tell you, it goes well beyond FDR. It goes well beyond that. The Venona Project proves that the deep state had already penetrated our highest offices in every aspect of the United States, from education to government. Not that there's not a difference between education and government today, but anywho. This show is also sponsored by RepublicReview.org, and you are listening to the only show that gives you the academic evidence and academic evidence-based solutions. Now, we're going to get into the argument for the bill that needs to pass, these committee bills that need to be passed in every state. And we've got a really strong example. Now, some of the language will change in some of the states, whether the states have statutory or how they have committees and set these things up, because every state is a little bit different. But the language is very good in this bill, which reminds me, I need to be calling, and I'm going to call Mark Lerner as soon as I get out of the studio today so that we can talk about getting an interview and having Mark Lerner on the phone. I think his voice is finally at a point where he can probably talk. And when you listen to him, you can actually tell that he really has had some, you know, vocal problems regarding his health and so forth. And we're praying for Mark to be able to continue doing everything that he's doing. We need all of these fighters in the fight. The beautiful thing about Mark is he's united. He's working with us. It's the same thing with Bob Schultz. It's the same thing with John DeRash. At this point, I feel humbled to have all of these different leaders kind of helping and supporting us. and putting aside their self-interest, really trying to do what they believe is best. So anyway, as soon as Bob lets us know about the seminar, you will know. Gary Smith with Fortitude Financial Coaching. Go check him out if you are looking to get on top of your finances and become, you know, financially independent and financially successful to some degree. Constitution Education is available at constitutioneducation.us, and basically the courtesies and the hard work of Keith Broder's right there. Hardwood furniture, if you want it, you can have it. It takes time. It's custom order, so you will get what you want from timbernation.com. Protect your investments in your electronics. Protect your investments in, now I've come to find out, these loaders. I'm here to tell you that if you contact Stan, you've got something you really want to protect and you really want to create some level of, you know, protection or cover for something, give him a call. I'm sure that he would be happy to help create what you need so that you can actually, you know, protect those things that you value. AdLocal.com is, go check them out. They do more than just marketing. They actually provide ISP type services, infrastructure service provider services, from domain hosting, domain support, secure SSLs. I mean, we have some ads that we run for them. But these ads that we run for them and all these endorsements are non-paid endorsements. These people are out there with their pulled up their bootstraps. They're in the fight and they're trying to help people by giving them good quality products and options of not buying crap from China. Got it? Okay. So we have our listen line. We have our comment line, 425-270-5416. And I haven't said this in a long time, but I really do hope Harry's listening. Now, we're going to get into some of the issues and so forth as soon as we get through these arguments, because what we want to do is, by going through these issues, and one issue that we can talk about is going after the press. There's no reason why states can't create standards and defining exactly what the press is and what a platform is. We've matured as a society to understand that the press isn't just somebody that's going out and putting something on a piece of paper. What they have done is they've created, if you look at government now is in lockstep with the mainstream media and the controlling of the narrative. They basically have a union, an agreement in providing very specific narratives in controlling the content and information that you receive. In other words, they are working together. This is why when you say I'm with the press, you have to be accredited with them. You have to be credentialed by them, the government. The government only recognizes certain platforms, but platforms are not the press. This is why the states need to go after platforms and say platforms are not the press. Platforms are ideological platforms where they control and manipulate the information, prove us wrong. This is why we want to look at, and when a state goes down this path, a state should actually create a civil duty, just like jury duty, where you go in and you evaluate the TV, the print of the news, the online media that is available within your state and those state forums to determine if Facebook is actually manipulating by shutting down groups, by not allowing people to present their side. Because bottom line, if the press is going to be free, that means that those who report their side, that has to flow freely. And when they actually say, no, we only want people to present this very particular side, that becomes a propaganda mill. And we are already in a very dangerous place, my friends. We're in a very dangerous place. That's why I say it's now or never. Either we start fighting back, we start landing punches, or we're going to get knocked out, we're going to get thrown out of this game. And every American that has, you know, because I don't know about you, I'm my worst judge. I mean, I am very hard on myself. I know I failed in so many ways, and those things linger and haunt me in what those failings are. I haven't killed anybody. I haven't done any harm to any severe degree to any person. I may have hurt your feelings. You know, I may have done some things, and that weighs on me. How will it weigh on you if all of a sudden you realize that you took for granted, you didn't take this crap seriously, and you realize now it's too late? Don't prepare or don't create an outcome that you don't want to deal with or you don't want to live through. We have an opportunity to create an outcome that is not only palatable, but will allow liberty to thrive in America. Those are the outcomes we all need to be seeking. So one of the things we want to do is give you, again, going into the issues once we're done with this. And while we're doing the issues, we also want, so I'm going to try to take this multifaceted approach of talking about issues and associating them to your constitutional, or I should say, your unorganized militia, which is constitutionally an obligation as well as a right to form. You have a right to form it as well as you are obligated to form these unorganized militias. So with that, when we come back, I'm going to dive back into the argument. We're really on page 2 of a 26-page document. It's going to take us a little while to get through this, but and I'll probably take some breaks just so that we can weave back and forth. This is really important. These arguments are important in understanding the legislation that states need to start implementing to seize their property and control back. We'll be right back after these two promos. If you run a business or an organization, you already know email is an essential tool for communicating. If you're interested in reducing your overhead and increasing your productivity, I personally recommend you look into AdLocal email marketing services. AdLocal has a special offer for my listeners with email services that start at $10 a month for your first 1,000 addresses. If you want to increase customer retention, grow your market presence, track your statistics, and improve your engagement with your customers with modern, elegant emails that express the personality of your business with emails that integrate with your website, you need to contact AdLocal, and they handle the rest. Take it from me. AdLocal offers the best solutions for all organization sizes, and they lead with their pricing and the 24-hour customer service. Folks, it's time to call AdLocal at 866-88-ADLOCAL or visit them on the web at www.adlocal.com. If you've listened to my show, Reclaiming the Republic, then you should understand that the Constitution is neither a living document nor a noble guide to governance. In accordance to Article 7, the Constitution is a hard, fast contract, and the states are the only stakeholders in this contract. Integral in contract law, the stakeholders or states possess the inherent authority to exercise oversight and enforcement over their contract. This means they can audit the federal government by the contract, and with republic review, they can enforce compliance to their constitution. Any single state can perform the audit, but when states begin to unite in the auditing process, this is what is referred to as republic review. Please read my argument for republic review as well as my description of the Republic Review model on reclaimingtherepublic.org. We even have a graphic flowchart that shows you how Republic Review works. If you want to learn more, contact me on Facebook or send me an email. Thank you. Friends, if you have any questions or comments, we have our 24-hour comment line at 425-270-5416. Well, I guess I could go down a rat hole, so let me go ahead and do that, because it came to my mind that, you know, we all do something, right? And I'll give you a good example. A lot of us like dessert. And so there are some of us that actually, instead of having a good, healthy meal, we have a dessert for our meal instead. Because what's the difference? I mean, at least you're feeding yourself something, right? Now, dessert is a nicety and it is a luxury. Back in the old days, well, actually, it used to be a luxury. Back in the old days, if you didn't know, they used to have a little box, you know, your great-great-grandparents had these little boxes that they had locks on so that the sugar couldn't get stolen, because sugar was a very rare commodity. The process of creating sugar to be able to make treats was very expensive. And so, and the abundance of sugar was, you know, I'll just say it wasn't that abundant. I mean, having sugar, it was considered a rare commodity that your mother, your grandmother, they great-great-grandmother, or your great-great, yeah, grandmothers, they had to have those things locked up. If you go and look at some of the old boxes that they used to use to keep that, the reason they did that is to keep the kids out, because they knew the kids would go straight in and just eat that sugar raw, because it was sweet and they loved it. Now, who doesn't love dessert? You know, yours truly is guilty of probably enjoying too much dessert and treats in his life. But the fact of the matter is, if we're going to be effective and we're going to have a healthy life, in other words, if you're looking at life itself and trying to be as effective as possible, this is one of the reasons why people, you know, really emphasize health, exercise, you know, a good diet, and all of those types of things, right? When I say diet, I mean what you take or what you put into your body. It's the same thing as what you do with your time. How you spend your money, how you, you know, consume things, because in essence, we're consuming. Everything that we do, we're consuming. We're consuming time with what we're doing. And so if we're to consecrate, if we are to focus on an outcome, do not expect the outcome will just happen. Do not expect that you will lose weight by continuing to do the same things. Do not expect that you will strengthen yourself by not exercising, but thinking about it. You have to be serious and you have to be very deliberate with what you're doing to obtain these effective goals. And so as we look at what we're doing, and this is, I guess, what we really want to emphasize, or what I want to emphasize, is why I spend all of this time doing what I'm doing. I don't have time to do all the things I need to do with the things I need to be doing, and still be able to, you know, help my wife with, you know, the things around the house, the dogs, and, you know, life comes at all of us. We all have to pitch in, and I'm telling you that there is no object that we can't lift if we all put our hands on it and lift. That's all we got to do, is just reach out, come up to the object, join us on the object, and lift. Now, that's what I call unity, working together to demand compliance, not to actually do things that are harmful. And in aspect to my comments yesterday, obviously I got some feedback, in aspect of my comments yesterday, we need to be focused on the solution and reeling in Russia and having a direct conflict with Russia does not need to occur. All we need to do is start appealing to the people of the world, of these nations, to say, you know what? You already see what's happening with, you know, what goes on in China. If that's what you want to happen there, then okay. But if you're interested in becoming a part of this system that we enjoy called liberty, have a vote. We'll be happy to come out and help you, and we'll help you conduct an election to determine whether you accept, embrace communism or not. But see, if we do that, we know, you know as well as I do, that we have to institute measures to ensure that not everybody gets to vote more than once, and that we have a tight control. You know, we had better election integrity in Iraq and some of these other nations by having everybody dip their thumb in the well, and by not having, you know, these massive ballots floating around that ended up in people's trunks of cars and in all of these boxes in some building that all of a sudden, oh, you know, there's a whole bunch of ballots over here. That should be illegal. If there are ballots anywhere, wherever that property is, that property owner should be actually arrested and prosecuted for supporting election fraud. There has to be a very definitized process of what and how we are to vote. And better yet, we need to start determining what people should actually be voting for. Yes, you have a right to vote for your representative, but you don't have a right to vote on taxes or all of these other things, especially if you don't have the, if it's a property tax, you don't own property, you can't vote on it. What kind of ludicrous system do we have? That, I mean, the stock market doesn't allow a person to vote on, you own Ford stock, you can't just go and demand to vote on GM, Chrysler, and all these other car manufacturers. You only get to vote on the ones you own stock in. That's it. And that's how we absolutely need, and that's how it was done here in America. Nobody could fathom otherwise. Well, why don't we just send ballots to China and let them vote? Let the world vote on our government and what we're to do with ourselves. No, that's not how it works. And that is contrary to the spirit of the Constitution as well as the letter of the Constitution, because the Constitution clearly states you have to be a U.S. citizen to vote, period. And it does. I'm in a rat hole, so let me climb out of this thing. Let me dive into this Constitution compliance and where we kind of left off, because we left off in talking about the Section 3 of the 14th Amendment and basically how the language went and how there is nothing within that. The time binds that. In other words, it binds it to the Civil War or anything. It applies at all times. Okay, so now what we're going to do is we're going to give you some examples of how public servants can actually violate directly or indirectly. And so here are four examples of how a public servant would directly or indirectly violate the Constitution. One, when an invasion of people deliberately cross our border, violating our immigration system and laws, every member of Congress, every member of Congress must call for the deployment of the militia to repel this invasion and remove all persons who are here as an invader, in other words, illegally, or they are violating Article 4, Section 4 of the U.S. Constitution, which states, quote, the United States shall guarantee to every state in this union a republican form of government and shall protect each of them against an invasion. And of, okay, so I'll end that there because I have a semicolon. So if you go, and shall protect each of them from an invasion of the Constitution, and they are, okay, so that right there of the Constitution. It should be, then they, forgive me here, we're just kind of editing as we go, then they are also failing to execute their delegated powers in Article 8, Subsection 8, which states, quote, the Congress shall have power to provide for calling forth the militia to execute the laws of the Union, suppress insurrections, and repel invasions. So if you put these two things together, they're not only obligated to basically deploy the militia, they're actually obligated to stop this invasion and repel, get the invaders out. So we don't want them to come in here anymore, but as well, they have no business being here. Allowing an invader to be here and then eventually letting them seep into our processes of voting and everything else, that is tantamount to treason. Every politician that is allowing this to happen is creating an insurrection and is literally undermining and perverting our Constitution. It's that simple. And so the Bolsheviks need more people. They need a lot more people to succeed in overthrowing our nation. This is why they are supporting this, and this is why the illiteracy and the stupidity of our public servants at the federal level is criminal. I'll just leave it at that. So the second example we have, when a state chooses to change the, quote, manner, close quote, of how the people shall vote for their electors, and this change is done by a governor, jurist, or anyone other than the state legislature, then this is a direct violation of Article 2, Section 1, Subsection 2 of the U.S. Constitution, which states, quote, each state shall appoint in such manner as the legislature may direct a number of electors equal to the whole number of senators and representatives to which the state may be entitled in the Congress, close quote. Therefore, it is Congress's responsibility. We'll come back to what the responsibility is, but this ties right into the fact that we've got a president that was unconstitutionally seated because Congress violated their legal obligation in supporting the Constitution. We're connecting the dots, folks. I understand that what I'm saying is actually, we'll be right back after this. Folks, as you know, online fraud is on the rise, and it's more important than ever for your new and existing customers to be able to determine whether they are using a website with a secured connection. If you didn't know, Google mandated in 2017 that all data submitted to its linked websites must be secure with SSL certificates. Without SSL certificates, your site is listed by Google as not secure. In other words, without these certificates, your site will be harder to find, and this will impact new traffic and ultimately your revenue. Whether you're a blogger or in e-commerce, AdLocal will help protect your website from all forms of data breaches, phishing scams, and build a secure environment for your businesses, big or small. Contact AdLocal by calling 866-88-ADLOCAL. Or visit them on the web at www.adlocal.com for custom pricing. To become a citizen, one must take an oath to support and defend the Constitution. Those of us who are naturally born citizens are obligated and duty-bound to fulfill the same oath even though we're not required to take it because it is implied upon us at birth. This is why I cannot emphasize enough the importance in supporting businesses who are supporting our Constitution. We have to stop supporting businesses that have chosen to hide behind political correctness, and obviously we must stop supporting progressive businesses who are working to undermine our republic and our Constitution. Do not let businesses or organizations convince you that they are supporting the Constitution by supporting protests for social justice. By definition, social justice is the distribution of wealth, opportunities, and privileges within a society. In other words, they're calling for socialism, which is incompatible with individual liberty and individual sovereignty and our Constitution. With that, please consider supporting businesses who advertise on this show and this radio station. Don't forget, you can call our 24-hour comment line to ask a question or to speak on any topic. Dial 425-270-5416. Okay, so what I was starting to reveal is that I completely understand and I acknowledge that the information I am giving you does not bode well with these evildoers that claim to be our government and claim to have all powers over us. There are points in time where we cross a line and we can't go back. Or if we do, I honestly believe that if and when I get to that point, when they finally come, it's kind of like, I'll give you a good example. I don't know if you remember the presidential election of 2012 when every candidate was being pumped up by the GOP to keep Romney from getting the nomination. And we saw the exact same thing with Trump in 2016, but Trump actually got elected. But I find it interesting how the GOP kind of tries to build all of these guys up. And Perry was the guy that at that point in time was favored by the mainstream Republican Party. And Perry made a comment that, and he called out that Social Security was unconstitutional. Prior to the next debate, they put the screws to good old Perry. and basically said, do you really believe that the Social Security is unconstitutional? And Perry yammered, stammered, and tripped and fell backwards. Instead of actually saying, yeah, show me in the Constitution where we have that enumerated power. He didn't even go down that path. Whether he understood what he was doing, whether he didn't understand, he capitulated to the progressive media machine. And in so doing, that, and they knew this, they knew that this would create a backwash, this fallout from the conservatives that were supporting Perry. Because those who were really becoming the challengers to this, what we would consider liberal. Now, most people look at Mitt Romney now and they recognize that this guy is far more liberal than he was when he ran for office. That's true. But you can't say anything different about Trump. I mean, Trump was out there well advanced to his running for office that talked about New York values and how abortion and all of these things were a part of his values. I mean, he already fell backwards before he leaned into the race. And so my point is that I know that my stating this and your stating this is not going to bode well. They're not going to like it. But when you shine the truth on those who are committing those who are breaking the law, committing sin, whatever you want to put it. When you shine the light of truth on them, nobody likes that. And some of these folks will do whatever they need to suppress you or to make you go away. This is why when we all start saying the same thing, we become very powerful. It's like when we all of a sudden want to stick it to the Secret Security, who is overreaching by saying they have a right to listen to everything that we're saying and doing, and basically on a given point in time, like a flash mob, we all basically say in a sardonic tone, but they don't know, they don't understand, but I think you understand the sarcasm. We're all going to kill the president. Now, when I say those words, this is why we kind of record everything. And my advice to you, when you run for office, when you are speaking, you have a recorder on. You want to be able to get back into the context of what you were saying when you said it. Because when I said kill the president, anybody can take that little soundbite and then add that into context of other things to make it seem like that's exactly what you want to do, when that's really not what you want to do. But the point in barraging the government monitoring system is overwhelm them. When everybody does it, what do? Well, they have to worry. Well, actually, they shouldn't be worried about that. What we all should be pointing out is they have no constitutional right to actually be able to come after us. Now, when Thomas Jefferson ran for office, he was told by several people, there were citations of people that says, you know, I'm going to come down and kill you. I mean, there was a guy in Massachusetts that actually wrote a letter when Thomas Jefferson became president and was sitting in the White House. And all of a sudden, he gets this letter from somebody in Massachusetts that I hate you and I'm going to come down and kill you. Well, that wasn't illegal. Why is it illegal today? What changed in the Constitution to say that you can't say those things? Ah, if they deem it a threat. And this is why, and that's a very specific case. When they deem you a threat, they will try to figure out any and every way they can get rid of you. But when we have so many people that are actually taking a stand that says no more, no more will we let you violate our Constitution. You're to uphold it. You're to support and defend it, not to be working it and using your power as a tool against us, to destroy us. You are committing treason. As politicians and public servants, they are the ones that are committing treason. So anyway, we were going through this example of how the states, when they change the manner, if it is done by anyone other than the state legislature, then they're directly violating that Elector's Clause in Article 2, Section 1, Subsection 2. Therefore, now we're picking this back up. Therefore, it is Congress's responsibility to reject those states' electors from the Electoral College. Specifically, in regard to the 2020 election, 401 electors were unconstitutionally chosen, and any member who did not flat out demand the rejection of these 401 electors violated their oath of office. Congress, after throwing out the unconstitutionally formed Electoral College, would then be required to go into chambers to choose the 12th president in accordance to the, or not the 12th president, I'm sorry, choose the president in accordance with the 12th Amendment. Sometimes, like I said, that's what happens. When I read, I actually see other words. And anyway, when I read out loud, I have to read slower. And so my mind tends to think a little bit faster, and I start injecting and throwing words. And anyway, it doesn't do well. And that's why I'm so happy to have other people read with me, read for me, and to help in this endeavor to help educate all of us. Anyway, so bottom line, the states not only violated the Constitution, but Congress was obligated to reject those electors who were unconstitutionally chosen, because the manner of choosing those electors was changed by somebody other than the state legislature. That has to be protected, my friends. Your representatives are the only ones that have the authority to do those things. And when you look at it, you go, well, this is so trivial. Are you kidding me? No. In a Republican form of government, that's how it works. Period. Example number three, when a public servant votes to approve a tax, expenditure, or budget, see, I'm talking slowly, so I'm trying not to interject, trying to really focus on the next words. So when a public servant votes to approve a tax, expenditure, or budget to fund any role, responsibility, or power that is not specifically enumerated within the Constitution, within the U.S. Constitution, thus placing a burden of tax upon the people so that in the name of government, they can spend money, thus funding unconstitutional roles, responsibilities, or powers, then they have violated their oath of office. Now, on the flip side, number four, when any state or county entity, office, or agency, etc., accepts federal money for anything that is not within the enumerated roles, responsibilities, or powers of the U.S. Constitution, then these entities are violating their oath to support the Constitution. It's that simple. You start recognizing, oh, wow, I mean, yeah, if you touch the bread that's buttered on all sides, you're going to get butter on your hands. And if you get butter on your hands, then that's not good, especially when you're told not to get butter on your hands, when you take an oath that you will never put butter on your hands. Anyway, you know what I mean by butter on the hands. I'm not there yet. I do know that and I may never be there. I actually hope that there's other people that start getting this, that get involved and really start leading in their state level, because as that happens, I can start backing out. I can start actually looking down the road. I can now leapfrog and start dealing with, this is what we have to do with this paradigm, these things in our society, education, healthcare, compassionate services. What do we do and how do we deal with all of that? And we'll be able to get out in front of those arguments as well. And so that way, when the states are actually getting rid of and getting the federal government back into compliance, we will already have the lanes in the road. By that time, we'll be prepared for them to say, these are the directions that you probably should go. We'll be right back after these two promos. Thank you so much. I've been on the radio for a couple of years, and for over a decade, I have been providing content to help patriots understand what has to be done if we're going to save our Constitution and our Republic. Not one academic has been able to refute my argument for Republic Review, and even most conservative entertainers will not support Republic Review due to self-interest reasons. If you have not read my bullet point descriptions and executive summaries, you need to so that you can understand what we all need to do. I am trying to give patriots the necessary knowledge to take back our Constitution and Republic. Go to reclaimingtherepublic.org so you can read my bullet points and view the Republic Review flowchart. You can even order my executive summaries, books, and other content to understand the simplicity of what we have to do. This way, you will know what, why, and how to support the reclaiming of our Republic. Again, please take a look at my content on reclaimingtherepublic.org so you can become a part of the solution. To set the record straight, Republic Review is neither an Article 5 convention nor a convention of states. In accordance with Article 5 of the Constitution, this convention requires 2/3 of the states to apply to Congress to convene a convention with the intent to amend the Constitution. This convention is unable to solve our real problem, which is non-compliance to the Constitution, and would be dangerous to convene at this time. In contrast, Republic Review is the process of the states exerting its constitutional authority over the Constitution. An audit does not require an application to Congress. This authority is inherent to principal stakeholders of a contract. Why do we need Republic Review? Because this is the only way the states can deal with the federal encroachments into roles, responsibilities, and powers that belong to the states. To learn more about Republic Review, please go to reclaimingtherepublic.org to read my content and my model on the audit and Republic Review process. As a reminder, if you have any questions or comments, we have a 24-hour comment line, 425-270-5416. Okay, so let me just dive back into this argument. Even in these simple cases, these violations can and will lead to the destruction of both the Constitution and this republic. One's oath to support the Constitution. Now, I have this kind of highlighted because I think I need to reword this, but I'm just going to, so we can move forward through this. I do highlight things as, you know, that's got to change. This has to change. So anyway, even in these simple cases, these violations can and will lead to the destruction of both the Constitution and this republic. One's oath to support the Constitution legally obligates each public servant to actively, quote, actively, close quote, support the Constitution by arresting any and all violations. To do nothing when the Constitution is being violated is a failure to one's oath of office, as some may assert, is repugnant to both the spirit and the letter of the Constitution and all laws in pursuance to the Constitutions. Placing context to who bears the blame. Even though a republican form of government, all public servants are legally, quote, compelled, close quote, by their oath to actively support the Constitution for the United States, there is one specific group of public servants who bear the greatest obligation in supporting and defending the Constitution. That group of public servants is our state legislators. The reason can be found in Article 7 of the Constitution. This is where the Constitution identifies what the Constitution is and who the parties are to the Constitution. What is the Constitution? It is a compact, a contract with more than two parties. Who are the parties to the Constitution? As Madison stated in response to Patrick Henry's assertion that the we the people in the preamble of the Constitution bore a resemblance to establishing a democracy, Madison stated, quote, who are the parties to it? The people, but not the people as composed one great body, but the people as composing 13 sovereignties, where it, as the gentleman asserts, a consolidated government, the assent of a majority of the people would be sufficient for its establishment. Folks, I'm going to stop right here. This is exactly how things go today. Now that we have popular vote systems, a democracy in place, that's exactly how things are going down today. We just needed a majority. We just need to have 50% plus one. And to be honest, they don't even have 50% plus one, and they know it. This is why they rig elections and they steal them. They're just waiting for the rest of you to start, you know, catching up with drinking the Kool-Aid so that you get on the government bandwagon of dependency. And as you see, Biden basically trying to push America off this cliff by getting more people to accept their position in being subjugated, becoming the slaves. Folks, what happens when we fall off that cliff? Lots of people are going to die. There has never been a toppling of a government to a regime of statism where people in the magnitudes of millions didn't die. Even in a small country like Cambodia, where the Khmer Rouge actually rounded up the educated, the experienced, and the old, those who had wisdom were rounded up and killed. It was called the killing fields. That will happen here. That will happen in every state that topples. Ah, those of us who pose any threat to their success will be removed and dealt with forthwith. In other words, they will be killed. So where it, as the gentleman asserts, consolidated government, the assent of the people would be sufficient for its establishment. And as a majority have adopted it already, the remaining states would be bound by the act of the majority. Now, to be clear, if it was basically upon a democracy where these states had consented to whatever, you know, whatever a majority of the states, but they had an Articles of Confederation that required 100% accession or it couldn't happen. And so that's why they had to institute this new government with a three-fourths majority. So you had to have three-fourths for something to happen. Now they're basically saying, no, we don't need three-fourths. Even though the Constitution still requires it, we've convinced you that we only need one extra vote to overcome the 50% threshold, and we get what we want. That is a very evil and deceptive lie. Anyway, as we go through, the remaining states would be bound by the acts of the majority, even if they unanimously reprobated it. Were it such a government as suggested, it would now be binding on the people of this state without having had the privilege of deliberating upon it. But, sir, no state is bound by it. Pay close attention to what he just said, folks. No state is bound by it as it is without our own consent. And therefore, if a state can come into this union, a state can step out of this union. Madison goes on and he says, should all the states adopt it, it will be then a government established by the 13 states of America. Not through the intervention of the legislatures, but by the people at large. In this particular respect, the distinction between the existing and proposed governments is very material. The existing system has been derived from the dependent derivative authority of the legislatures of the states, whereas this is derived from the superior power of the people. If we look at the manner in which alterations are made in it, the same idea is the some degree attended to. And so if you look at what he was basically saying, he was talking about, and he kind of stated that the superior power of the people. But it wasn't a people vote. It wasn't a democracy. When they were referring to the superior power of the people, it was still a Republican form of government. The people delegated to very specific people as delegates to go and deliberate this Constitution. So the distinction between the people and the state legislature was just a shift. The reason why, and so you can understand the little nuances, at the time of the Constitutional Convention, the states who possessed all the power, there were very specific states, Virginia being one of them, New York being another. These states held so much power that they weren't going to share and join a union in creating a government that had enough energy to do what it needed to do. They did not deliver all powers unto this general government. It was only a very few and specific powers. The bulk of all powers were left to the states. This is why we don't have a federation. We have a confederation with a very limited federation. We are more confederate than we are federal. And so so you understand, you know, what we have here and what happened. It was not an election, because there was an election by the people regarding the Constitution, and the people heard delegates debate. And there were certain delegates that were nominated to go and represent each county. The counties then went to the state convention. These county delegates went to the state convention and then argued for and against the Constitution. And whoever won the argument of the day was the one that secured the outcome. And every state secured the outcome in approving the Constitution by these representatives representing the Constitution. The representatives who were representing the states or defending the state's cabals, they were rejected. And so they died in infamy, if you kind of understand what I'm saying. Anyway, moving back into this, and we have at least a little over a minute. The delegates at the Constitutional Convention understood and knew that the state's avarice for power was the reason why the Confederation was failing. So instead of allowing the state legislatures, I'm basically repeating what I just told you, instead of allowing the state legislatures to reject the Constitution, the delegates recognized the necessity of allowing the, quote, people, close quote, choose their delegates to debate the ratification of the Constitution for them. The point is simple. The Constitution was still ratified by the, quote, representatives, close quote, of the people in keeping with a republican form of government, but it was not ratified by the people through a popular vote. In addition, the ratification was not a binary process. In many of the states where the states were out to maintain their, quote, fiefdoms or cabals, close quote, rather than surrender any more powers, in essence, the reason why the Confederation was failing, the Anti-Federalists or the operatives of those trying to maintain these cabals of power at the state levels tried to invalidate the 1787 Constitutional Convention, stating the delegates exceeded their scope. Madison publicly addressed this in his first seven paragraphs of the 40th article of the Federalist Papers, dated January 18, 1788. In every state where the Anti-Federalists attempted this argument, the argument was decided by a vote of the delegates, and we're going to pick this back up right here. The reason being is this is really important information, because I don't want anybody to start obfuscating the truth as to what happened at that convention. It was not a runaway convention in 1787. And with that, my friends, and understanding these things and what these states need to do and why these committees are important, that's why we're reclaiming the Republic, and we need your help. God bless.
A presentation on YouTube that provided an irrefutable argument of what we have to do to save our Constitution and our Republic. I know it's over an hour and 30 minutes, but you only need to watch the first 30 minutes. If you take the time to watch this presentation, I promise it will change your paradigm regarding what our Constitution is and what we have to do if we are going to save it, our liberties, our sovereignty, and our republic. We already have answers to most of the questions that you might think of after watching this presentation, and we want to help you get to a point where you have a profound understanding of the audit and republic review process. This is why our bullet overview and flowchart of both the argument and process is available on reclaimingtherepublic.org. The sooner you get informed, the sooner you can get involved and make an impact. So go to reclaimingtherepublic.org takeaction.org to the Take Action page. That's where you'll find the video. Thank you so much.